We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Jason, you have Sprite.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Well, sugar.
Don't go now.
All right, so we'll introduce ourselves very briefly. Doc, you start because it's left to right.
And oh, so you just did my job. I'm Doc.
No, I'm Doc.
There's a sign.
There's a sign.
If they're not literate, scroll.
Read a goddamn
that's
book.
Doc, yeah. Doc Ezra, our Minister of Literature and Keeper of the Foo. And then we have.
My name is J.M. Tuffley.
J.M. Tuffley, who... You took off your jacket.
I took off my jacket.
Way to bring down the tone.
I know. I brought down the professionalism so much starting now.
Tuffley is our Minister of Music, who is currently in residence, as Rob is smarter than we are and probably asleep. Then we have... Scott C., who's in miming mode. That won't last very long. So enjoy.
He'll be breakdancing after the show.
That's right. Our Minister of Naughty Bits. Then we have Rox... Our ambassador from Spaz House, who is our artist in residence. Then we have Service, who is our ambassador to the Unique Geek, who are a bunch of glorious bastards. And then me, I'm your host, Alex Trebek.
That's right, here I am.
So we should stop calling you Regis, right?
No, only if you mean that in the regal sense. All right, so we're here for all. We almost outnumber the audience because it's 10 a.m. on a fucking Monday.
Okay, but tell them why I sent you at 10 a.m.
She sent us at 10 a.m. because.
Revenge?
Yeah.
No!
All of those years she goes, I have them right where I want them. Yes?
No,
what?
It was because some people I know have to drive out very soon, and
yeah.
I wanted you all to be one more time.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. I got a bike down, so the young one.
Also, you're not
right
as hot
now
as the Torchwood guys.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
One of them is.
That is right, Scott. You had which one?
The one I'm married to.
Oh, you know what
nice
we could do is round up whoever gets cut off.
You shouldn't
over
have put her on the spot like that where she had to
line
say something.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
See, if you hadn't looked, I would have said wrong.
Yes. No, there's another line out there now.
Yeah. How big
Michael Bailey's wife
what
hates me now because I didn't look
at her. It's getting there.
What?
People
kept flipping me off at dinner because I kept saying I don't like
her. Okay, I have a serious question.
Okay,
you guys know so much.
What they
please.
What is up with all Laurel K. Hamilton and now the junior version of the cheesy romantic... What's that? The
Twilight.
Twilight. What's up with that?
Okay.
I have no idea.
It's
Rox does.
This one woman at a panel summed it all up, and I laughed. I cringe. She calls it... when I talk to my friends about what I like to read, I call it sci-fi fantasy chick lit. And I laughed. It's like...
You left?
Only because it just went straight down.
I'm
it was like...
Here.
I like when people, you know, the vampires hook up with the werewolves and this and that. And a lot of the times, there are a lot of these authors that don't own a thesaurus. I don't know. I mean, it's...
Or a strong and white.
Given the past few books, I'm pretty sure Laurel Kane's drawn most of her source material from Penthouse Forum.
Yeah.
Well, in Twilight, the other...
Are you kidding me? Penthouse Forum is
well
written.
Written by a Mormon.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's,
apparently there's no action below the mat.
But
it's all about, it's all about the eroticism of a vampire biting you and manipulating you and how great that is.
Yeah, just to clarify, this is different.
Manipulating you?
Okay. Yes. In the New York Times book review, one time they placed this like little quiz, and it was match up this line with the author's. Hers was one was a werewolf, one was a badger, a were badger. They were both here.
You're not making this shit up.
Okay? No, I am not.
Oh, you're setting this up. This is a Jeremy Clarkson thing.
No, it was in the New York Times, and it was one of the quizzes.
It gets me through so many
horrible.
But the worst part of it is they're making a movie now.
Yeah, I
have to admit, I have no idea where this came from, because all of a sudden we gave away copies of their for book host.
Oh my god.
And then everyone was suddenly like, you know, midnight masses at the bookstores to buy the book, and I'd never heard of it
before.
Well, the weird thing is, like, she had had, like, three books, and then all of a sudden it's everywhere. It's like, here's the series everyone loves. I'm like, why haven't I heard about it until the fourth book then?
Everyone loves it.
I will have to tell you, though, the young adult version by Stephanie Myers is better written.
Really?
It's still appropriate only for like 6 to 7 year olds.
Oh, here's more.
But it's better written.
You know why? Because they had to self-censor themselves.
Well, no, it's because she still allows someone to edit her books. Whereas the other author refuses to allow an editor to change any of her words, and it's in her contract that she will not be edited.
Although, frankly, the marketing tie-in
And let me tell you, if she does that to a comma one more time, I'm going to hunt her down and stab her eyes.
she's across the hall.
I don't care.
Go do it. I guess
her point is it won't take much hunting.
Yeah.
Come on, we missed the whole range.
The marketing tie-in for those Twilight books need to be like camp at Slender Regular.
Yeah.
Except for romance novels. They will not keep copies of romance novels. So will they draw the line here? Will they keep a copy of these books or not?
They're not sold as romance.
They're not.
Yeah, so I probably have them.
Well, I'd wait till they make that selection driven by who the publisher, what the publisher imprint is.
Oh, where are they?
So they've just probably just, yes, we don't stock anything by these 20 publishers, and as long as she's still sneaking her softcore off as a sci-fi fantasy book, then she won't have to.
Publishers
like,
publisher.
Like our current favorite book, Chains of Destruction. I hope they got that signed.
Somebody was giving it away for free.
Yeah.
A guest passed.
Yes, the guys from the Cabin Fever podcast on Quick Stop picked it up, and we were doing dramatic readings of it at dinner one night, and we decided that we should get a bunch of celebrities to sign it like it was the best book ever. So Ken Plume actually signed it. Titties on page 47, Ken Plume! That should just go around the con and get people to sign it. And then what you do is you sell it on eBay for charity, and then the author can't get pissed at you.
Oh,
what about the Holy Breeding Program?
I'm sort of disturbed.
So anyway, what the fuck? Oh yes, make the bad men stop. Yes.
Okay, so Hollywood breaks down. Dylan's
Hollywood breaks down. Period. Thank you for that comment.
Okay. Usually on the interstate.
The following category: either a sequel or prequel,
right?
A video game, TV series, movies,
right?
Or a remake,
or now the Broadway musical.
Oh.
Yes.
So
or the movie.
In those
Broadway
categories,
musical.
Do you know what's going on?
Yeah.
Pretty much. We try to. If not, we'll make it up. And it'll probably, if we make it up, it'll be more interesting than whatever we're doing.
Okay, so since any word on the idea of the skill is worth it.
Mentioned that in Make the Bad Men Stop Part 1, and let me sum it up for you. Shite! It's going to be awful.
Which one is this? I'm sorry.
The day the earth stood still.
Yeah.
I mean, did the world just kind of, like, stop?
Yeah.
Is Quark any good?
What?
Is Quark any good?
I have not seen him yet.
They have been very cagey about that, which is probably the only reason it might make some
which is probably why it's going to be twisty.
And I don't think they gave Pat Neal a cameo, because I've been scouring lately to see if she's in it. Because they could put her as the boarding house lady, I guess, if they go to the full remake.
So, let's see, what... Oh, don't mind me. This is breakfast. I've got this, and I've got this.
If only we were playing this. Bingo.
He's going to be mainlining some pixie sticks later.
So. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be freaking. What was the question? So, yes, Day of the Earth Stood Still is going to shut. So, suck. Yes.
They.
Will we ever see a restaurant at the end of the universe?
Probably not in the form that you're asking. Since, you know, the first film did so wonderfully well. So, no, probably not. Probably not. We'll need to wait for a few years, and then someone will do Hitchhiker's Guide Returns. Yes, Michael.
The Incredible Hitchhiker's Guide.
The Dark Beginning.
What do you guys think of the WB's recent announcement that they're going to be plugging their superhero line and making it darker and more brooding, seemingly across the board?
Oh, this is that whole... I don't know how you make it darker and more brooding than let's rape Sue Dibney and burn her corpse.
When will the postmodern era be
I'm talking about the movies.
Oh, the movies! Oh, yes, the movie!
They had to kill Sue Dibney in the movies.
No.
They probably run her over with a tank in the movies, too.
Yeah, driven by James Garner.
and throwback.
What? Yeah, I was about the whole summit that they had in DC where they went, wait a minute, spandex equals cash.
Do they have another comic book property they could make dark and brooding?
That's
don't have... Batman's all there is. It's all there is right now.
Let's rephrase the question.
That doesn't really need to make dark.
Yeah, that's right. How can we make Watchmen dark?
Kill them all in the first 5 minutes.
What?
Are they still developing the Wesley Dodd Sandman movie? Because I heard that somebody was working on that.
Oh, someone's working on that. Yeah. Per the law of relative development, that is being worked on.
Because if they can't
get
the other Sandman to go, they're gonna get a Sandman out. Damn it.
Yes, Lee.
Well, you said the magic word development. If I had a bingo card, but what's in development hell?
What is being in development hell mean?
No. What is currently in development hell that we'd actually...
We do not have enough time at this entire con to go. Basically, the law of relative development states that every comic book, book, magazine article...
Remake.
Everything's going to be remade. Everything might turn into a musical. Basically, if it's been written down, it has been optioned.
Bible.
By somebody. Yeah, the Bible. Yeah. That's kind of being done all the time, usually in animation. And
well, why don't we talk about the venue?
Yes.
The new media format. Let's talk about The Fly.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
The Fly
actually,
the Opera?
Yeah.
How many people knew that they have made an opera out of The Fly, like a serious opera? Like, they brought in Howard Shore, who did the music for the Cronenberg film.
It looks cruel.
Apparently, at the time, was like, wow, this could make a really great opera. Which, I don't know, I thought that when I was watching the film. I don't know about you guys. I was like, oh, if only they were singing in Italian, you know. Rondo Fly.
No. My favorite line is, I want it sung as, you're a fucking drag. I really want that sung.
In Italian.
No, that's a German opera. Can't be better.
I said Italian only because
it could be Der Fledermaus, except for just be Der Fledermaus.
No, here's the thing. German opera really doesn't translate. It really isn't an intimate storyline, okay? That it really wouldn't translate as grand because there's no real chorus involved. But the thing I'm psyched about is instead of using a tenor for the part of Seth, they've got a baritone bass.
Oh, nice.
So the range is going to be so fucking long. You know, the range would be awesome.
Well, then can we have a contralto instead of a soprano?
I don't know. No one... I really haven't done any of the research on her.
That would be so awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Let me finish setting this up for
45 minutes.
Oh, sorry.
So Howard Shore, the original composer, has composed the opera. Then they brought in Cronenberg to direct it. What was it?
Domingo.
Yeah, Plácido Domingo is the artistic director. LA Opera is conducting it.
Okay, now I want
to. It was already done in Paris.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I want to see Eastern Promises, the opera.
Okay, that could be done.
That would actually be pretty cool.
And get no,
we got a pool on how long it's going to take Cronenberg to drive VAD crazy.
No, we should start one now.
It's done. He's probably in an institution right now.
I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. I actually wrote that up on the site that we had. I did not realize that there had been a Dead Man Walking opera. And there is a Brokeback Mountain opera that's going to New York. Yeah. And I think there was a couple of others. So, yeah, I mean, we've had now the movie going to the stage for a musical, and now movies going to the stage for operas. So, what?
Xanadu.
Xanadu the opera?
No, Xanadu.
That's a musical.
Oh, no,
here's the difference between
it to the next
really
level.
What how musicals are produced and I think how an opera is. Opera is usually some old lady with shitloads of money going, you know, I want to see Deflator Mouse again. Mm-hmm. And they'll shell out money. That's how, like, the first emperor.
Well, that's the whole
plot
of the producers.
I know, but here's the thing is with them, with an opera, usually it's a small amount of producers opposed to a Broadway.
Which is like
$50,000. Yes.
So, at the rate we're going, we could actually see Springtime for Hitler as an actual musical.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Starring John Barrett.
That's right, folks. How many other panels go from superheroes to opera?
Just one.
And you're grateful.
Well, we're going to get the opera that's made from the movie that was made from an opera.
Oh, no, I was talking about
comic book adaptation and a novelization.
Phantom of the Opera,
which
the opera.
Be
never before has theater had its head so far off its own ass. I'd go see it. Yes.
So are there any movies from the 50s that might be remade, like in Forbidden Planet, then?
Forbidden Planet, I know, has been in development hell for a long time. Probably since it left theaters the first time. Well, I mean, Them is being remade, and Edgar Wright, Shaun of the Dead, is directing it. Funnily enough, he's also directing Ant-Man. So we just figured, you know, giant ants, both films, perfect. Save money. And you know, here's how much I like Edgar Wright, is that you could say Ant-Man. Edgar Wright's directing it.
Really? See, Shag isn't here, so that...
What?
Shag has a thing for Ant-Man.
No, he has a thing for the irredeemable Ant-Man.
There's a difference.
Okay, now define thing. Good thing, bad thing...
awkward thing.
Because for the irredeemable Shag, I just thought that was a comment on his character.
Well, it is, but...
Oh, okay.
It's also.
No, I thought the Edgar Wright one was
the guy from the
Scott Lang or the Shaq
or Shaquille O'Neal, and that would be completely different.
I don't know
if Shaquille O'Neal had a problem with things.
I don't remember which one he's doing. He's doing Scott Lang?
Okay. Distinguishing it from
So, yeah, and he was talking about the ultimate spy being able to shrink down and run around and stuff like that. So I'm like, okay, dude, you know.
If Robert Downey Jr. shows up at the end of the film, they blow that in the ads before he comes out. Because Marvel's never done that before.
Oh, never. But,
yeah, that had Edward Norton. That would be the bigger surprise.
Yeah, it'd be a big surprise if he came back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It'd be the big surprise at the end. Oh,
well,
wait, he still got him.
Incredible Hulk made money.
Yes.
Yeah.
And did quite well. I will admit... I have not seen the actual film, although I've seen the movie because I watched the trailer. So, you know, I didn't feel any burning desire to go see it. Marvel is interesting in that they're actually getting back to the whole Warner Brothers Summit thing. That's what's caused Warner Brothers and DC to suddenly wait. I think we've mentioned this in the part one of this, which was basically, Warner Brothers, for the longest time, had DC basically as a write-off. I mean, it was just their R&D, you know. And then they R&D'd jack crap. I mean, they had nothing coming out of there except for, like, you know, Superman Returns, which was $400 billion, and then you know.
That. Yeah, but that's not quite fair because they tacked on all the crap that went on before Superman Returns onto the budget.
Well, no, business-wise, that is fair because, I mean, they had to make that back. So, I mean, I think it was, what I heard was, it was $250 million, just on its own.
Yeah.
Then you had marketing on top of that, which is extremely fair for that film. And then you had, I mean, it is fair to say, okay, you gave, you know, Tim Burton a pay-or-play contract, and then you didn't do it. You gave Nick Cage a huge pay-or-play contract, and then you didn't do it. So you're that stupid, you deserve to have to, you know,
take
that
tack on. How much did they pay Kevin Smith before they got anything green-lighted?
Yeah, they paid for all of those.
Yeah, they
all
paid
those
for Kevin Smith before there was even a film.
15,000 drafts of the film that they had done. So, of course, all of those.
Each more craptacular than the one.
Yeah.
Yes. I want a giant spider. Yes.
Okay, this pay or play effect you said with Nicolas Cage. Mm. So basically, what is that? They said, we want you to do this film. And we'll
we want it so bad, we're going to pay you whether we make the film or not. So,
ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. That sounds really great. I mean, it's one thing if you know that you're going to make the film and there's no chance of you not doing it. But, I mean, basically, your big star and your director, you paid them as though you made the damn movie and you had nothing.
And wasn't he going to, wasn't the story in his I Want to Be a Superhero stage? So why would they even want to pay?
He
probably
still
wanted
does.
To pay them.
His agent probably was.
Wasn't
like,
Ghost Rider payment
pay
enough?
Like we said, Cage finally did Ghost Rider, so I'm hoping that he got it out of his system. I mean, literally, it was a running gag for the longest time, is that if there was a superhero movie, Cage at one point was attached to it. You know, even if it was Power Man or Wonder Woman, he didn't care. He wanted to be in spandex of some kind. So he finally did it, and I hope it worked out for him, and however he needed to in his own mind. So, that's where his last name comes from. I mean, he's a Coppola, and his stage name is Nick Cage after Luke Cage. That's how big of a comic geek he is. So, I mean, that's how he was Jones.
Okay.
What's that?
You need a son, Kal-El.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Even I'm not going that far.
Yeah. And that's saying something for you, Michael.
Yes. That is saying something for me.
Oh, is there a Green Hornet demon?
Green Hornet right now is going nowhere. I know they had talked a while back to Kevin Smith about doing it, and he had decided that, you know, he'd much rather make his own films like Jersey Girl. And I think we mentioned this in the last panel, the idea that they had years ago is still the best one, which was to change it up so that you had Jet Li as the Green Hornet and Ray Park as Kato. So the descendant of the original Kato is Green Hornet, and then
Jason Statham is the bad guy, and the earth cracks in half.
Yeah.
I could have so much fun with Black Beauty.
You what?
I could have so much fun with Black Beauty.
Seth Rogen.
Yes.
Yeah, during the press for that shitty movie Seth Rogen made with James Franco, he said he was getting in shape for the movie.
What's that?
Seth Rogen was saying he was getting in shape for Green Hornet during
really?
The press for, what was that movie called?
What, Pineapple Express?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Fascinating. I haven't seen anybody like else getting attached to it, but that doesn't mean anything.
Is there anything on the Jack Black Green Arrow?
Green Lantern.
Sorry.
No, that is that's dead.
Dead.
Okay, good.
Thank God.
Yeah, I mean it's.
What is it with all these guys who would look terrible in spandex wanting to do these movies?
Because everybody's wanting to pitch them as comedies until DC realized that the comic fandom does not really respond well to being mocked.
Yeah.
Also, so instead, we're going to make them depressed with Dark and Brooding.
Just because it's called a comic,
they'll show up for that.
What you have to understand is the way these corporations, studios, and stuff work is they don't really understand the reasons for things, why they happen. I mean, it's hard enough to figure out. It's hard enough to figure out how something works because obviously, if you can figure out how it works, you just do it every single time. And there's been plenty of, like, you know, films that seemed like they were bulletproof and they just exploded. But they look at just like, okay, instead of Paramount looking at the Star Trek franchise and going, okay, the reason why no one's going to see our films and watching our television shows is because we've basically turned this franchise into shite so that even our most you know, religious nut job type of fans have turned on us. Instead of doing that, their response, I mean, literally, they're in Variety saying, well, it's obvious that the sci-fi genre needs a rest. I mean, it's never their fault, right? And it's never really their idea either. They're looking at the success of The Dark Knight, and they're saying, oh, well, dark and brooding sells, not really kick-ass plot with the proper casting and the proper writing and the proper directing and the proper property sells. It's just, oh, dark and brooding sells. So that's why, and comic book sells. If it's a comic book movie, oh, gold. That's why you see, I mean, there are literally, every week there is some comic book title that you've never heard of, and in some cases has not been published yet, that has been optioned. And the good news is just because it's optioned doesn't mean it's going to get made. I've started doing a thing on the site called Stuff You Need to Know, and I'll talk about the things that have been optioned and got a director attached. And most of the time, it's just like, it's not going to happen. Like, every single time they announce something on Superman Returns in the 15 years leading up to it, all the fan base would go, oh, yay! And it's, no, just calm the fuck down. What are you doing? It's Tim Burton's going to direct. Kevin Smith's going to direct. It's like, no, just because they're saying this is going to happen, it's not actually going to happen. Like, what was it? My favorite was, before Brett Ratner came on to X3, Matthew Vaughn, who directed Stardust and who directed Layer Cake, which an amazing number of people have not seen Layer Cake, and you should actually see it because it's pretty decent.
The drug guy.
What?
When he plays the drug guy.
Oh yeah, Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very cool. But anyway, so he had Layer Cake coming out, and all of a sudden he was attached to direct X3, and this is when. I forget who it was, but whoever was supposed to direct it,
I think they were trying to get Singer, and Singer bailed to go.
Yeah,
to
yeah,
Superman.
Thank you. Singer had bailed to go do Superman, and they had a release date like the next March, and it was like, you guys are insane. Move your movie. But so Matthew Vaughn got attached, and I said, all right, Matthew Vaughn just attached himself to X3 because now everyone's going to want to go to theaters to see Layer Cake to see who's the guy who's going to direct X3. I said, give it 2 to 3 weeks after Layer Cake leaves theaters and he's going to exit the project. Guess what? He exited the project 2 or 3 weeks later and they brought in Brett Ratner. So it's amazing. You have to kind of look at everything with like a gigantic grain of salt about this big because it's all politics and maneuvering and shite. So... But yeah, it's going to be very amusing to see how they take everything dark and brooding, and they've missed the point completely.
Plastic Man.
Plastic Man.
I want a Plastic Man with a soundtrack by The Cure.
I'm sorry. Oh, no. Somebody just coughed up a lung behind you. What? Yes.
Are all of you satisfied with The Dark Knight?
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, I was kind of afraid going into it because
it was too good.
I can't remember the last film that everyone that I talked to that whose opinion I remotely respect said that it not only was good but amazing. I was like, okay, this is not possible. It wasn't a perfect film, but it was damn good. I was very impressed with
it. I was astonished.
That's the other thing that Warner Brothers misses completely is that it's when was the last time you saw a film, if you really break it down, that complex that made that much freaking money? Because if you think about it, it's not like Biff Powell, whatever. I mean, it's a lot of shit going on. I want to go watch it again just for the heavily laden dialogue with great bits in it, like Joker saying, I feel like we're going to be doing this forever, you know? And you just think on one hand, well, yeah, you are. On the other hand, oh, shit, you're dead. So, I mean, it's worth doing just for that. What?
Too soon?
I wasn't joking. It's a freaking tragedy. So, go ahead.
Here's something you guys have to realize, too, is it was in, the, I think, Wall Street Journal that I think Warner Brothers is going to cut back seriously the amount of films that are going to be made in the next couple years. So... it might take quite a while because I think they got rid of Searchlight.
That's Two Fox. Other,
that was Fox.
Fox. I think New Line.
Fox killed Searchlight. They right. also killed off New Line.
Yeah.
So the only thing that left that will have the New Line name on it
and it may not even have the New Line name on it when it comes out, is The Hobbit.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So, you know, for films, I mean, they're looking at, I think the number was like six, something really
who's
small.
Who's doing a Nightmare film then? If not, that, you know, the movie that built New Line.
Well, they might just bring it in-house and do it Warner, right?
They might just do it as Warner's, or they may pawn it off to, like Weinstein or somebody to co-produce or something like that.
Yeah.
Because I've noticed that a lot of the genre flicks get passed off to other labels.
Yeah, that's another thing that they're very interested in doing, is not just rebooting. It's the whole reboot thing with putting in new people as, like, they're talking about with New Nightmare, bringing in a new Freddy Krueger.
Why?
Which I'd like...
Why?
How?
Well,
isn't it like when G.I. Joe the movie came out and they made all the new figures that you were supposed to go buy? And nobody did them because they were lame?
Yes, but you're going to buy the Eccleston Death Star.
Well,
Star,
I mean,
so.
here's the thing. I don't necessarily... I mean, you can do a good remake. You can do a good reboot.
Right.
I mean, Batman Begins proved that you could take, you know, a film, a franchise that had gone just about as bad as you can possibly get. I mean, we went from, let's think about it, we went from bat nipples to The Dark Knight. I mean, you know, that's a miracle right there. I mean, that would make you believe in God, but or not. But yeah, I mean, there's problems with doing a reboot. I mean, because they don't know what they're doing. It's like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre reboot.
That was Michael Bay. What'd you expect?
I expected more stuff to be flying around in complete derision of physics.
I wanted Bruce Willis as the chainsaw guy.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
I tell you what the problem with that Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie was, is that, I'm sorry, you've got a leather face that doesn't scare me as much as Arlie Ermey.
Yeah.
I'm like, now you've completely fucked up your movie.
Well, let's be honest.
Now.
It's Ermey.
I know it's Ermey.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. How else, I mean, unless you made, like, Leatherface.
I want to see Arlie Ermey in all the horror reboots. Freddy Krueger, drop and get me 20!
Prom night.
Guess what?
Prom night.
Oh.
Prom night. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
wonderful.
I've never seen the remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and you said it was done by Michael Bay. Was there, like, a dramatic slow motion shot of Leatherface putting on the apron?
And that was, like, in the trailer.
I think that
was in the trailer.
Really?
That was seriously in the trailer.
The only thing that would have been better is John Woo doing it, and then you could have the doves too.
And doves kind of flying behind him.
The internet has really come to the profitability of the music industry, and I understand the movie industry is sort of seeing that coming. Are they reacting to that with the projects they're choosing to do? Is that influencing why?
First off, the internet. I'm sorry.
Ass.
That's the perception, at least, in the US.
Okay, I was about to say the perception, because let's be honest, it's not... The internet is cutting it a little, but let's be honest, the music industry is suffering because most of the stuff they put out is crap.
Yeah,
they've got the same problem the movie industry does. They don't really understand cause and effect very well.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, isn't the music industry, making money, too? I mean, aren't they still making money?
I think a lot of things are affecting at least the current state of projects. You're looking at... We just came out of the writer's strike, and there's going to be a long sort of drought of stuff due to the writer's strike. Then you've got wherever the hell this is, whether or not we actually go to an actor's strike, because we're kind of in... That's the next thing, because we're all seizing up on that one.
Yeah.
So we might get that, too. So a lot of it is we're cutting projects, we're trying to save money. The stuff we know people are going to go see is the stuff we're going to spend the money on. And then, of course, you've got sort of the smaller British companies doing the smaller films, things like that. But a lot of the major studios are trying to get, like, their tent poles ready to go. Yeah. And that's where the money's going
to
be.
Is there an opportunity there for smaller film companies to then break in because of the...
The smart guys use the internet to their advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the big guys are going to let it pummel them until they figure this one out, and then they're going to ruin it that way.
Well,
right.
Well, that's where you got, like, Soderbergh trying to do, you know, because he'll sign on to a smaller, you know, do a smaller film or hook himself up to smaller films and then try to do that download, buy the video, or go to the theater at the same time. I mean, at least he's trying to look to the future of trying to get as much money as possible from those three.
But in a sense, Soderbergh usually does that because he does, like, the big Hollywood
film. And
he alternates usually.
Yeah, and then he goes away and does a couple of quiet films, yeah. And then Ocean's 14.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
one thing, one thing about the MPAA in it's odd to hear me with something like DC say about them, but they have said literally that we've seen the RIAA's stance on how music was handled online, and it's worked out so well for them, which is what they've said. So they're trying to figure out a way to deal with it. And what's interesting about the RIAA and how they reacted is Hillary Rosen, who got a lot of shit for being their mouthpiece for years and years before she retired, did the whole Napster thing. She was the one behind all that. She said, actually, I think it was in Wired. I read
it was Wired.
Yeah, which was a great interview because she basically came out and said, look, all I was trying to do was to buy enough time for the music industry to get its head out of its ass so that they didn't die. And after I read that, I was like, you know, I kind of respect that. I mean, she saw the writing on the wall and knew that they didn't.
Well, but by the same token, if she's been working in the music industry that long, she had to know it was not actually possible they were going to get their heads out of their ass.
That's why she got out.
She
said that in the interview. That's why she got out.
She realized she couldn't stall long enough.
Yeah.
John?
But
I realize that this is, you know, anime and not exactly the American music movie industry, but I think it's...
We were talking about opera a little bit ago.
Yeah, well... Yori Oshii, who is the director of American operations for ADV, has talked about looking at the fan subs and things like that, a lot of the illegal transmission of anime properties to the United States to determine what it is that fans want and what they should therefore themselves bring over and produce and pay to subtitle and et cetera, et cetera. People are paying attention to the internet and using it as
the
a positive.
The smart guys are going to do that.
ADV is not small. No. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, it's small compared to Warner
Brothers.
Well, in a way, but I mean, manga makes more money than just about anything.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was Salon or Wired.
And I think this
whatever,
is exciting. Really.
Is that they have that the anime companies allow people to make fanfic and actually publish it in small numbers.
Yeah.
And it's a great way for those companies to see, well, what are the fans buying in this regard, and think, oh, this character, we didn't realize it, but this character is popular here, so maybe we should export it in our main stuff. And they allow that, a little reservation of
and
stuff to have.
And it's huge.
Huge. That's the thing.
But it's big enough for them to notice and say, this is actually pretty cool, because I think I read it in Wired as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's still a billion-dollar industry.
Oh, no, I agree. It's just that they have an unwritten understanding. Is they let them do what they want, but the people who make like the unofficial fanfic know that they can't make it too big.
Well, that's what they've talked about, though, of trying to determine, because it's hard to predict, especially if you are a Japanese person who was not raised in the American society, which titles will and will not translate to our culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they've tried to bring over a lot of titles that just didn't work. They weren't funny to us, et cetera, et cetera.
Too much culture context.
Right. So they've used that kind of as a test to see, oh, that really does work, and we thought it was way too Japanese, but that's actually what they want. Well, you know, and so forth. So they actually are paying attention.
Well, plus, if you look at it in terms of smart guys versus not, I mean, you've got ADV, and then you've got Tokyo Pop just crashing and burning in their sort of midlife crisis.
Though they have a plan that I think they've got a plan. They're enacting some change, and I think
they got too many properties. And paid for them up front.
They've actually made a statement, something about comparing themselves to Marvel.
Yeah.
So they're saying, you know, we tried to do the American comics model of just basically putting out a bajillion titles and thinking every one of them.
Now I want some sort of Shonen Jump Civil War now.
We actually had Satan in the Civvies.
Well, you've seen the already seeing the smaller films getting more of a push because of that. Because look at the hype they've been pushing Hamlet 2. Would have been like
it's
a small
huge buzz.
Not even buzz. I'm saying you're seeing commercials for it.
Comedy Central.
And this seems like a film that it wouldn't have gotten the push unless something like the writer's strike. We're already starting to see the backlash from the writer's strike.
I think that
Harry
too,
Potter being moved.
Not really.
And,
right?
Well, I think that's you've keyed in on one of things. What is it up against?
They're pushing it more than maybe
I don't think you would have seen that push had it not been for the fact that for some reason Knocked Up and the Seth Rogen movies, and it's in that, if the marketing is, if we can try to get it into that genre, hey, if you like Pineapple Express, you're going to go see something with Steve Coogan in it.
Well, no, the big thing they're trying to compare it to is this going to be this year's Napoleon Dynamite, and that's what makes me not want to see it, because I thought Napoleon...
Well, the other thing is...
They branded
it for, if you've noticed on the different channels that the ads have run, they've branded it differently, especially from Comedy Central's end. When they run the Comedy Central's ads, they make it a hard point to sell that one of the people who had something to do with South Park wrote it.
I really want to see how they're pushing it on the Oxygen Network.
Yeah. Brought to you by
Oprah. It's Shakespeare.
Yeah, on the 700.
It's in the Oprah movie.
The whole Jesus thing.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
Yeah,
Rocking Sexy Jesus.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, going back to the fanfic versus the studios, it's like J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter, she had a lawsuit against the fans, I guess, building their own book. You know, the website was okay, but then when they wanted to publish Harry Potter's encyclopedia,
yeah.
They're like, you can't do that. I'm going to do that.
So well, she owns the rights to it, so she can, and she gets to say that.
It would be one thing if they had actually written content for the book they tried to publish. And I'm not.
This was based
you defended
on
the RIA, and I'm going to have to go do this. The website was largely cut and paste excerpts out of her novels.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It's a concordance of quotes from characters and things like that. So
it's one place to go and say, okay, wait. When Hagrid was doing this as a child, what was this?
If they had tried to do some sort of unauthorized, an actual encyclopedia where...
Or analysis.
Do a character and talk about all that we know from what we've been told in the books about their background or how old they are.
Or they pulled the television without
people have. There are such books out there. But what this was essentially a cut-and-paste concordance out of the novel's text. Or at least a significant percentage of it was.
Right. I mean, there's been a lot of Harry Potter books. I mean, before, like, books 5, 6, and 7, weren't there... I think there were books... I know it was for book 7, but I think they also had what to expect in the next book.
Yes, definitely. Yes, yeah.
So it's entirely conjecture about things, and nobody
how
was suing them.
How to teach Harry Potter. And I think they were totally wrong, because I think I bought that book. I'm like, oh, okay, they were wrong here.
What was their argument? It was like, well, it's like the Marvel Universe handbook. Well, the difference is Marvel puts that out. They get to copy themselves.
Yeah, I think the initial reaction from a lot of people is just, you know, big guy, we want to root for the underdog, but then the underdog has been...
The underdog is blatantly stupid.
Sort of exactly.
They were not well represented.
Yeah.
These were people that put this... Think about it. These were people that loved it and put this together to try to come up with ways to remember stuff. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Somebody needed to make money.
Somebody needed to tell them when they started putting a book together... This is really stupid.
Yeah, they should have had a good
When you cross the line to, okay, this is a hobby, that we're doing this for fun, to, hey, we can make money doing this, then you need to make sure you've got enough to prove that the person can't sue you afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Well, just leads to the question of what somebody may very well have told them that. I guarantee their website's getting triple the traffic now it did before the law.
Oh, yeah.
So you float the idea that you're going to publish this book, get your C&D, and then watch all the hits roll in.
Yeah.
So they may have made their money one way or the other. That's what we need to do, bitch.
I've been waiting for some cease and desist letters.
We need to figure out how to get a cease and desist from somebody famous.
I know. The only one we've ever gotten is for a book that we did, I think, Aaron, you did a review of, and they came back, and it turns out the book was plagiarized, so they wanted the thing taken down. I was so upset. I thought we had actually, you know, done something to piss someone off.
Actually, I think with that website, there isn't even any advertising on that website.
There's none. That's none.
Lady the Fez had a question.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, as a fan fiction writer in the industry, that's crossing a line that could have gotten them... Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't hear about that myself.
Because basically the unspoken rule of fanfic is, and most of the studios are okay with it, as long as you don't try to sell it.
Except you have to disclaim it.
Yeah.
Don't wake up the tiger.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of poke at it. You can do whatever you want as long as you, A, don't sell it, B, don't try to advertise it very
poking
much.
Poking is called something else.
Well, I know that, but...
So how bad is different it that the movie's getting delayed?
What's that?
How bad is it the movie's getting delayed?
With Potter?
Yeah.
You know what? I could see sort of the uproar, but they're sort of making a big deal out of the uproar in order to promote the movie. Honestly, it's coming out next summer, and then you get two more films within 6 months of each other. Shut up.
and in reality, I mean, is anybody really excited about the films? I mean, she says, you know,
my 9-year-old.
Seven's out. The seventh book is out, and we kind of know where the story essentially goes. And at least for me, once I read the seventh book, I was like, all right, good, I'm done.
I do want to see Crisis on Infinite Hogwarts on screen, though.
No, I
that's
say
exactly
for a
what
lot
that was.
Of, and as somebody, my child is now reading the books. Finally got into it and is in book four, which he lugs around and hits me in the knee with all the time. Damn, that thing's heavy. So I think there are a lot of kids that are waiting for it. I'm waiting on it. I want to see how they do it and how they chop it up.
See how bad they
I look, but I've been waiting on that since book three. You know, how do you chop this one up and how do you chop this one up? Because they get, you know, it's harder to do it.
Yeah.
What I find interesting is the idea of the two-parter for seven. And I just keep, every time I think about that, I'm just trying to figure out how in the world, if you're doing a two-parter, why are you waiting, aren't they waiting 4 months, 6 months between them?
Well, if you do it closer together, you get the Matrix effect,
yeah.
Which is we're going to end it at the crappiest. We're going to end the first part the crappiest way possible, and expect you to come back.
Well,
yeah.
See, and that's just it. With the seventh book, where do you hit the middle? I mean,
that's a very good book.
Well, let's see, you've got one movie of them running around in a tent, and then another movie that's actually something happens.
I really hate the tent.
Now, the thing is,
isn't that the worst episode of Rogue Rules ever?
Yes.
I mean, it really, literally, that's the only place I can see them cutting it is, okay, all of a sudden they get grabbed by the guys.
And my thing is, has there ever been a two-parter like that actually worked?
No.
Because, I mean, if you look at Pirates... Yeah. I mean, all Pirates did is remind you
Kill
of
Bill.
Matrix.
Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Kill Bill.
Which,
Kill
Bill. Yeah.
Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Although I do think that both parts together are a better film
yeah.
than the second one alone. The first film
well,
by
it
itself.
It was one film.
Yeah, I mean, it was so
Yeah, part one
different.
Does stand better on its own.
Yeah.
Part two does.
Yes.
Are you talking about Kill Bill or Empire of the Caribbean?
Yes. Oh, my God. That second film made me want
to... Although, the Ewoks did have tentacles in that one,
yeah.
So...
That would have been really interesting.
Empire of the Caribbean or the East India Trading Company Strikes Back. It's really
yes.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah.
East India's Badass Revenge.
Yes. Any more science fiction novels going to be rated for movies? I heard rumors of an Orson Scott Card movie...
Somebody actually said something about Foundation. I couldn't believe
Foundation.
It. Somebody
yeah.
mentioned it last year. I'm like,
oh,
oh
yeah.
No. They've announced it.
Yes. And then
on.
I couldn't
wait, is
that
the Will Smith one again? Is that Will Smith still doing that one or what?
No, I don't know.
Will Smith and Asimov. I don't understand. Or.
I don't know that they have an actor attached to that.
I think it might have been a producer at one point.
Well, yeah,
Nicolas Cage
attached to everything. It's like automatic. It's like a law. Who's attached? Nicolas Cage. Oh, no one yet.
We've got Ender.
Yeah,
we've got
Cage.
Foundation.
What was Morgan Freeman producing?
Rama.
Yeah.
Ender's Game, rumored at one point.
Yeah.
Ender's Game has been rumored at a lot of points. I mean, the
HBO
problem
HBO had it for a while.
They've
yeah.
got art and stuff on Ender's Game, I know. I don't know if it's... actually in some sort of pre-production or if
it's still in development hell. I don't think they've gotten a script yet that they're happy with. I mean, the problem is, first you have to have two things have to happen first before that goes anywhere. You have to have a script that doesn't suck, or at least is producible, put it that way. Then you have to have a kid actor who can carry it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah.
been half their problem.
That's a heavy character for trying to get someone
yeah.
the correct age. To
and basically, I'll go ahead and tell you, anytime any kid actor gets to any prominence, whether it's Jake Lloyd or Haley Joel Osment, they automatically get rumored to play Ender. So if you hear that, then just, you know, calm thyself. It's going to be okay.
Well, and that's the whole Hollywood doesn't understand its own business, is they wait till they identify the kid to play Ender to start making noise about making the movie, which will take them 2 to 2.5 years to get off the ground, by which point the kid's in high school and you've got to go find another
one. And on heroin.
And they start the whole thing over
again. Right. Otherwise known as the Furlong effect.
On Rand, keep hearing the fountainhead.
Oh my god. Oh my god, Fountainhead would be a remake, which I think you could probably do, but Atlas Shrugged does not need to be a feature film.
No.
It needs to be a like Deadwood-esque maxi series.
It's gotten killed once.
I was thinking it needs to be a bonfire, but
no, here's what's hilarious about the Atlas Shrugged movie is I saw an interview with the guy who was writing and directing it, who I think wrote Braveheart. I forget.
Braveheart.
Which was one of my favorite films. But basically, this is a guy who does not understand the novel. I mean, he's talking about, this is a book in which there's this huge speech at the end which the hero uses to turn around the villain's points of view, which doesn't work in a film. And it's like, wait, no, actually it doesn't work, and that's the whole point. Did you read the fucking book?
You know,
so,
who,
I'm glad it died.
Whoever said that, HBO should do it, the person that does Mad Men understands that book, because they actually created this one character that's friends with Ayn Rand. It was oh my god.
No, there's a subplot on the show about this.
Yeah, so I think they could do it.
You know they're remaking Watership Down, too, right?
What real
with real bunnies?
Oh.
Real bunnies?
Yeah, is it like
are they
going to
talk with their little animated mouths?
Yes, the rabbit.
Because that would put me
it's live action.
There might
animation.
Be a furry version of that song.
Oh, wait a minute.
The Watership Down.
Watership Down, the furry musical. Now you're going to have to scrub the insides of your brain.
The furry opera.
The furry opera.
Music by E.O.L.
I'm going to have to take Lee up on that.
Now that would be Bakhtarian.
Yes, Lee.
Tale of Despero, which did anybody read that book? The Tale of Despero, if you've not read it, it's a Newbery winner. It's absolutely beautiful, gorgeous book. And they're making it into a movie.
Yeah.
How bad is the movie?
The trailer looks really good, actually. I don't know a damn thing about the book. The trailer looks actually entertaining.
Okay. Have we heard anything about George R. R. Martin and HBO? Is that going anywhere? Has that gone any further?
That is nowhere, from what I understand. Yeah.
If they're talking to Trent Reznor, it obviously isn't going anywhere.
Yeah. Song of Ice and Fire, which is a series that I became addicted to and tried to get as many people as I knew addicted to it so they could share my pain. It hasn't gotten as bad as Waiting for Dark Tower books, but it's getting there. But basically, they sold the rights to do it as a kind of maxi-series thing, which I had... I mean, you could literally
I think it's the same people who were doing Deadwood, and when Deadwood sort of...
Died.
Yeah.
They kind of dropped the we're not doing genres on HBO sort of thing.
Didn't you Dreamcast?
Yeah. What?
Didn't you Dreamcast?
We've been working on Dreamcasting for a while, but you have to remember it's got
cast thousands.
Okay, you told me to Dreamcast the Bible. Don't whine.
Yeah, and where is that, by the way?
I am almost done.
Yes, but you can't cast Brian Blessed as everything.
No, I didn't. He's not even cast in it.
Brian Blessed is not cast in the Bible?
Not yet.
Moses.
Brian Blessed needs to be cast in everything.
He can be all the major rocks. Yes. No, who do that?
Jesus is alive. Wait, give that man a prize.
What did you say, sir?
Wait.
Oh, give
I said Jesus
good.
Is alive.
There's good
like
stuff
Brian.
Today.
Today. You know, what should we give him? What we got? What would he dislike the least?
I'm guessing we're these two.
Okay. How about Transformers Cybertron?
Yay!
Sure.
Yeah, it was service.
Well, it was either that or the Andromeda Strain.
I'll
take he's like, I can sell that.
No, I'll give you the virus.
What I'm curious about is BioShock, the game. Are there any plans to make that into?
Oh yeah,
that's how you make Atlas Shrugged a movie.
Yeah. BioShock. I mean, they
just make BioShock a movie. It's like Ant-Man distilled with guns and explosions.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much.
Interesting.
Okay, who did see this?
Well, the real kicker there that
the
real
thing.
The problem was the sterno drinking. Nobody does. It's. Do you know how much sterno costs to make an alcoholic drink? You know, to make squeeze. That was my only problem about that show.
Most people don't care, no.
I didn't know anyone actually drank sterno. And I'm like, what the hell is squeeze? And I actually, because I remember it from the old film, like, oh, that's what it is.
You drain sterno
into like a loaf of bread to get rid of all the chemicals, and you have hardcore liquor. Sterno is like $5
why
for a little tin.
The weird thing is, in this, they update it to now,
and this the one guy that doesn't get infected drinks Sterno.
It used to be.
Well, there, you just ruined the movie for me.
Well, I know, really, but to really update cheap. It and.
Kids, don't do drugs.
Not, that was my whole problem with that. It was just.
Yeah, I think that would break down for me there, too. I'd be like.
Yeah.
So it's the best thing since my new drink, sliced bread. Sterno. Get yourself a Cuban loaf, I think it works, because it's thin, sir.
I'm sorry, what was
you're on. What are the odds of an actor strike, and what is the main issue? You're our strike specialist.
It's the main issue is the same issue the writers were having, which it worked out so well for the writers. Let's try it again.
Actors have more power.
Actors have more power because, hey, if we don't show up, there is nothing. But, well, they could do the Potter Paul puppet.
So yeah, but doesn't it? It's internet rights and DVD rights and streaming rights,
and we get royalties on streams and all the crap that didn't work for the writers either. So
this goes back to the question I asked about, you know, the studios picking their project.
Yeah.
In that they're now, because they didn't give the writers what the writers wanted, but the writers have a slightly larger cut on DVD.
Yeah.
Which was how, as we talked about in one of the previous panels, Hollywood doesn't give a damn how it does in the theater anymore. They don't have to. It's a 2-hour commercial to go buy DVDs. And now, suddenly, the DVD isn't basically a cash cow they get to cut everybody else out of.
Yeah.
They already have to cut the writers in a little more than they did, and they cut in for some ridiculously tiny amount on DVD.
I think
a writer of a movie makes like a nickel when you buy it.
I think it's like a 0.3 point, depending on who you are.
Wouldn't that face the same problem as the players strike in baseball? Okay, even though actors, there's a ton of them, and you have very low wage, you know, screen actors, everybody has this idea of, oh, well, you know, Nick Cage gets $20 million for one film. I mean, the public perception.
Yeah.
Is, okay. I think, you know, be like, oh, well, they're just like crybabies.
Well, they said the same thing about the writers, and the writers don't do a lot.
But see, the thing is public outcry is like, whatever.
Well,
here's the problem,
in particular. What happened with the writers, and what's going to happen with the actors is, not only are you in competition with reality shows and video games and everything else on the planet, yeah, but you're also in competition with your previous work, which the companies still own, which they're still going to sell, which are probably going to be better than the next thing you come out with. So, you know, that's what you're in competition with, and they don't have any bargaining power.
Right.
So what do they do? They just say, fine, just cheat us out of everything? What do they do then?
Looking for a big uptick in major names doing voice work in video games.
And that's what happened.
Because the money's there.
That's what happened during the writer's strike. Because I noticed Warren was blogging about that.
Well, Warren wrote a video game.
Yeah, Warren wrote a video game.
Or if Equity doesn't participate.
So yeah, we got like 5 minutes left. So
all right,
Tim.
Yes,
were you stretching, or were you?
I had a question.
Okay,
go ahead.
You can ask them.
Do you guys have any news on the animation front as far as like? Superhero comic book projects.
Well, DC's Marvel's got Next Avengers.
Marvel's got Next Avengers, and they've got that Captain America thing that's coming out.
Right, and DC's got Wonder Woman's coming. They did New Frontier. They did.
They're probably going to do some more Justice
Gotham
League
Knight
too.
Direct to video stuff.
They're going to do all direct to video.
Bruce Tim Justice League directed.
They're doing standalone, like 90-minute straight to DVD features.
Well,
I understand that, but is it the? I know Bruce Timm is producing Superman Doomsday, Gotham Knights, and all that. But with the Justice League, is it specifically like the Justice League Unlimited continuity, or
yeah,
is it?
That's what they have
yeah.
in so far.
Yeah.
Except for New Frontier.
Yeah, and I don't think anything's tapping New Frontier. They may be working on a follow up to New Frontier, but I don't know.
I
yet.
Wish they would.
They're attempting the Brave and the Bold and Cartoon Network.
Brave and the Bold is a series that's going to go for Cartoon Network. So I don't know who's doing
Batman
that.
Batman and a guest star.
Yeah, I don't
Diedrich
know who's
Bader
doing
for
that.
Batman.
And that's still in that DC animated.
Oh, really?
Diedrich Bader is doing
yeah.
the voice of
Batman.
What are they doing, like
Batman
a gentler Batman? Batman?
Yes, yeah, it's a... Yeah. It's, let's put it, he's wearing, if I remember, because I think we...
It's
well,
the costume with the yellow.
Yeah, it's the blue as opposed to the, you know, gray and black Batman, so...
Just go to the toy aisle, look at those Super Friends figures. That's
yes.
Exactly what it is.
Yes. Superpowers galactic.
I think there's a couple of Marvel things that are going to pop up on
yes.
Cartoon Network, but yeah.
Yeah,
I'm good. Go.
Just considering Rebooted the Bold work, are there any chance of seeing Daredevil again on screen?
Oh, please.
Give it 10 years.
Well, I mean, we didn't wait 10 years for Hulk,
yeah.
so
yeah.
I think
that's,
if they
that's
could,
a different level of character.
No, no, well, I mean, it's a different level of character, but it was also a different level of suck.
yeah, but as Marvel got those rights back, and I know that's why they were able to do this, because, you know, they got their own, with the own studio, they
yeah,
got the rights.
No, no, I mean, that's a good point. I don't know what the deal is with the rights with Fox for Daredevil. I know Fox isn't going to touch them, so it just might be one of those things where they let it expire and it comes back into the fold. I mean, that's how they were able to do Venom in... last Spider-Man film is because they had that was actually that's one of my favorite examples of people not knowing what the hell they're doing. I know, let's sell the film rights to Venom and you can make a Venom movie and they're trying to do a spin-off now of Venom
yeah,
from Spider-Man.
Yeah, Sony's trying to do it.
But they had sold it separately from Spider-Man. So they're like, let's make a Venom movie and never mention Spider-Man. What a great idea. So,
well, was
it that the
Carnage
big?
Yeah, but no. I mean, to answer your question about Daredevil, there will be another one, I'm sure, but probably when it goes back into the Marvel stable.
Well, they're probably so focused on doing the Avengers stuff right now that they're not going to have any time to do.
Well, unless they could figure out a way to get Daredevil in the Avengers, because well, I mean, if you think about
well,
it, depending on what version
back,
of the Avengers
you
you've got a different roster. I mean, the Marvel Adventures, that they write for Brain Dead Children. Has got like Storm and Wolverine. I'm sorry, I read those and I'm just like, you know, when I was a kid, I was reading like, you know, the actual JLA and the George Perez New Teen Titans and I was kicking ass. And this is like, ooh, let's make rap funny, you know, noises and farts and shit. And it's just like, what the hell is, who reads this? 3 years old?
So, and the Avengers, is that going to give Snipes his shot at Black Panther that he's been trying to pin down for years?
You got to pay off the tax thing.
Yeah. No, well, Black Panther is actually, right now, it's in active development.
Didn't Forrest Whitaker have it as a producer on it?
I had not heard that.
Yeah.
I thought Snipes was a production company. The Amara Film still
yeah.
on the rights to
well,
it.
They, I
Do
think
they
they're still involved in a producing capacity, but I don't know if Snipes is going to be in it or not. I know that it's been in development for the longest time. And sadly, here's the really shitty part, is that the script that they're working on right now is not... the Christopher Priest run of Black Panther, which was actually good, the Marvel Knights one, but it's the one that came after that that was just so god-awful. I think I read half of the first issue.
Well, I think at one point, didn't they have Spike Lee for it?
Guys, I hate to
yeah.
say this.
What?
It's time.
Don't.
Can we just have one question? She is holding forever.
Yes, one last question.
Okay. Do we have anything recent on John Carter of Mars?
Who was Del Toro was attached to that at one point?
Del Toro was attached, but then a little thing called The Hobbit came up.
So yeah, so he's going to be a little busy. And Del Toro is supposed to be doing the second Tintin movie as well, so he's tied up for a while. Okay,
it's still out there, but it's probably a few years yet before anything moves.
So we'll give random prizes out to people who were actually asking questions, or let's just get some. I think I have some more in my bag, so. What do we got for you?
Does everyone in the room get some?
What's up?
Yeah, here.
Probably some more in the one touch bag.
Get rid of it.
I don't want it out of my house.
That's the second time I've heard that.
Did you get all the bottom?
I don't know.
Which, do you need the Film Fest poster?
Yes, we'll take that back.
Which season of the Hulk is this?
This is season 4.
Can I try my Transformers
in the back?
Oh, sure.
Man! That's a good one.
Yes.
My child had to see Lou Ferrigno, and that just, like, he thought that was a cool song.
We heard Lou Ferrigno stuff. Here, you win.
All right.
I got Robot Chicken Star Wars. Anyone?
Yes.
Says Nick Cage, National Treasure with Nick Cage. Let it be known that the last prize Neat Coffee gave out was Nick Cage related. You can't get away from it. Please come check out the site if you like this stuff. Like I said, we're doing a sequence called Stuff You Need to Know, where we take all of the crap press releases that they put out and condense them into a little haiku form so you can read one post and get on with your day.
Zombie haiku?
Yes.
Have you seen that on YouTube?
What's that?
Zombie haiku?
No.
Oh.
Check that out.
Find it out. It's like...
It's a guy, they got their...